So before I start, I want to pray. Father, we want to thank you for who you are. Thank you, Father, as we praised you, as we sang. Father, you set us free. You delivered us. You gave us new life. Not because of our good deeds, not because of what you have done, what we have done, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood you shed, because your body you broke. Father, thank you very much for what you've done. And Father, I pray that you can speak to us through your words, Father. We can be not just listening, but we can be doers. Father, we can apply what we listen and we can live the life, Father, you plan for us to live out. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we will keep preaching on Romans. So the letter of Romans is very special to me for two different reasons. One is because, as Italian, I feel it was written for my ancestors. Through this letter, I can still see some characteristics typical of my culture, but also the many things that have not changed despite the fact the letter of the Romans was written almost 2,000 years ago. And this is the corrupted nature of man is always the same. But also the second reason, because through this letter of Romans, 24 years ago, I accept Jesus. I still remember that night I was reading the letter of Romans, and God touched my heart. And God made me to realize that he saved me through Jesus Christ. He gave me new life, and my life changed from that moment. My life has new meaning. My life had hope, had joy. I realized that my life had a meaning from that moment. And I was happy. I was joyful in my heart. So, but the letter of the Romans is also the gospel written for Christians. And usually the gospel is a good news, but as we saw so far, sounds not really good news. Sounds really accusing, sounds really painful. So we saw through these last 2 weeks how Paul explained what is in human heart and what was happening also in the church. And that was not very positive, as we saw so far. So, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. That is one of the main Bible verses to me that portrayed, summarized in somehow also the letter of Romans. So the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And it is true faith that a righteous person has a life. It's not about work, it's not about how good we are doing. But his true faith is through Jesus Christ. I want to do a short recap what we have listened from these last 2 weeks, but also provide an historical context of the letter to the Romans. So the letter of Romans was happening through the under the Emperor Claudius, one of the emperors in Rome. And that period, many Jewish, they were deported. They were not allowed to stay in Rome. And we can see also through Acts when, in the chapter 18, talk about Aquila and Priscilla. These two Jewish were deported from Rome, and Paul met. And this probably meant that in the meantime, Gentiles were the majority in Rome. Gentiles Christians became more numerous and took over the leadership of the church. So when Jewish Christians return from deportation. It means after 10 years, 5, 10 years, there was a community with a new identity and practices different from Jewish tradition. Can you imagine? You have a German church. Suddenly, the counselor or the president of Germany say all the German Christian needs to be kicked out from Germans. And who lives here are the Turkish, for example, or are Africans, or are Syrian, or South American, and they take over the leadership of the church, and they establish their own tradition or their own way to worship God, to preach, or very different. And after a while, Germans come back. And what's going on here? So different, so loud, different language. Oh, these people eat all the time. Where is God? Why they are so shallow, we will think. Or many people can think. So this is probably what happened. And this created some tension in the church, you know. Jewish, they brought in the church also their own tradition that was related with their background. And when they came back, they found that these Romans, these Gentiles, who were so different from them, and they felt like they changed everything. God was not anymore at the center. And there was this friction, this tension between Jewish and Gentiles. So this is could be the what's happening in the Roman church. Just give you a short also historical aspect. In Rome, at the time, there were 1 million people. 1 million, that means 2,000 years ago, was a huge city. Yesterday, we were walking in Stuttgart, and we were seeing people from different nationalities. And you can see people wearing a very different way, behaving a different way, and it's confusing. To me, it's very confused, very random. Looks like there is no order. And I think in Rome was kind of. Many nationalities, many different background people, way to behave, way to dress, way to address people, was chaos, was loud, was so different. And this was something also affected also the church. Also if Paul praised the Roman church, because say your faith is, your example of faith is spread all around the world. That is, was a praise, because was means that they made difference, but there was also very tension inside. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their weakness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as a god or even give him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claimed to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desires. So here we heard from the first preaching from Nat that they know the truth about God. Everyone knew this truth. Because God made visible through his creation, through his work, God made obvious that he was there. He's the ruler, he's the creator of this world. It's undeniable. Also, if people try to persuade, also nowadays, that we are created by nothing, but it's so obvious, and the science proved day by day more and more that there is somebody else who created all these things. At the time also, people tried to deny this. And they rejected. They rejected God. If you had the chance to go in Rome, or if you could have this chance, if you walk through the city, you can see there are statues in many parts of the city, and these statues also represent different idols. The city of Rome was full of temples, literally full of temples. And Romans were portrayed like very religious people. They believed so many gods, and they tried to appear like people who were devoted. So Caesar was the god, the supreme god, the ultimate god as well, the imperial Caesar. And if you go in some small town in Italy, they have this worship of saints. In one small town, there is this saints who is surrounded by snakes, real snakes. So they put on the statues these snakes. And it's very famous for in this small town, these statues going around, people worship, and they surround with snakes. And to me, it's very interesting, but very evil. And I can see how it's related with what Paul says here. It's not changed. 2,000 years ago, people tried to do the same, and people keep doing. And what God did? God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. God showed patience, is showing patience, and he also don't contrast him, but he abandoned them to do whatever they want. God never forced us to believe in him. But God gave always chance. But God also gave us choice to do what is right. And here we see that these people, they rejected God. We see that all the world keep rejecting God and try to looking for something else, somebody else to worship. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse when you say they are weak and should be punished. You are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God is, in his justice, will punish anyone who does such things. What's happened also? People in the church, they thought, I am right. I'm not behaving like these Romans, who are so lost, who they worship idols, who don't know God, and I'm better because I know God. In this case, Jewish and Gentiles, they felt superior. They felt like I do better than them because I have a right to judge them. And you know what's happened today? We do the same. In our hearts, to be honest, I'm doing the same many times. I feel sometimes, many times, superior. My wife sometimes called me Polizeibehörden. Because when I drive the car, I have this inside of me that I want the things needs to be done right, but I have also the tendency to break the rules. And when she said to me, it's painful. You know, because I can see that my heart is no better than hearts of the other people. But we have this tendency. When we know something more than other people, we have this tendency to judge others. It needs to be honest. In many ways, we are doing a very subtle way. We feel in somehow better. And this is what Paul says. You are not better than them. Just because you come to church, just because you attend on Sunday service, just because you do spende, just because you are not doing things like them, You think you are better than them? You are not. You are not, because you measure yourself with other people, not before God. This was a clear warning to the church at the time, but it's a warning to us as well. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews, who do have God's law, will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Whoa, that's hard. Can you imagine Paul comes here and say, your religious attitude doesn't save you. There are many people outside are doing very good. There are many charity organizations that are doing better than many churches. There are Muslims outside who are preaching their belief better than Christians. And you think you are better than them? Just because you know God, you think you are better than them? You are not. What Paul's tried to say to these people, your laws, your religious practices are nothing. Doesn't make any difference. There are many people outside, they are not Christian, but they behave better. There are many people who in their conscience, they know what is good, and they do it. There are many people outside, they behave better than many Christians going to church. So Paul, what he's saying is your heart is important. It's not your action. You can have good motivations. Everyone has good motives. But if your heart is not coming from outside, inside, if it's not rooted inside, are nothing. Motives are not enough. It's obeying is important. But it's not obeying led by fear, but you obey God because you know Him. Our problem is not fundamentally an ignorance problem. It's an obedience problem. We don't do because we don't know. We don't do because we don't want to obey many times. We don't do many things because we know, but we choose deliberately, don't do it. And that is what condemned also the Jewish people at the time. They knew the law, but they felt also easy to break. They felt they can do it. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm religious. I go to church. I'm Christian. I was born in a Christian family. I grew up as a Christian. I know. Doesn't make any sense. You know, I was born in not a Christian family. I was born in a Catholic family. It was very, very nominal. So what I always thought, I'm Christian. Of course I'm Christian. I was born in a Christian family. I was baptized as an infant. I went to church. I know. But the truth was, I didn't know anything. What made me different from other person was not Christian. It's just because the other one identified himself with somebody else, as someone else. When I lived in Senegal, I lived with the Muslims, with a Muslim family. And I can see that there are many similarities with the Catholicism. Both, they are led by fear. They don't know God. They don't know God at all. They made a pilgrimage, both. They try to do good deeds in order to earn salvation. But they don't know. And there were no differences. You know, sometimes it's happened the same today. You who call yourself Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with Him. You know what He wants. You know what is right because you have been taught His law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct ignorant and teach children the ways of God. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well, then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others don't to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but you use it stolen from pagan temples. You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. Whoa. Wow. Such very, very hard. Can you imagine? Paul praised these people. Oh, your faith is so good. He spread all around the world. And then, boom, crashed them down. Say, Paul, are you bipolar or what? Why? But you know, the truth always offends. He praised them, but he also said to them, look, what makes you to be praised is not because you are behaving good. No, it's not because you are better than others, but it's because of God's grace. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth, says in the verse 20. The Jews were convinced that the laws was the foundation of their day's salvation. They were relying on their mental knowledge. They were thinking of God in their own understanding. So they removed God's grace and they replaced with the deeds, with the law. Law is important. You need to keep it. You need to keep it. When you took the law, when you took your religion, when you took your beliefs and you replaced with God, you nullify God's grace. When you put your righteousness in God's place, you make yourself right. And you say to God, sorry, I'm not so bad like this. This person on the streets, because I know you, I'm better than him. And you know what we are doing when we do this? We nullify God's grace. We don't show gratefulness to God. We don't say, God, thank you because I'm like this person. But because of your grace, I'm saved. I'm a new person. Yesterday, I was sitting around the table outside in Stuttgart and I asked God in my prayer, God, please give me to see the people I'm looking around with your eyes. Because it's so easy to look at the others with our lens. You know, I lived in some parts of the world and I can see that human heart is the same. Last summer I was in Korea and I like to sit at the cafe and look at the people. when they walk on the streets, when they sit all around the table. And we have different culture, we have different habits, but we are the same. At the end, we have the same needs. We behave in the same way. And this made me to realize one more time that we are really all same people. I'm not better than a Turkish person I meet on the street. I'm not better than a Africans I meet at the shelter. I'm not better of a Syrian person. I'm not better than anybody. We have as a Westerner this mindset that we are taught in some degrees that we are superior. We are better because we exported democracy, we exported technology, we did this, do that. And we are in our mind so rooted this that affects also our hearts and our ways to see other people. You know what is shameful? When we realize that the other person is better than us in many ways, makes us to feel shame. And praise God that he used this. Praise God that he used this because it makes us to realize that we are the same. We compare ourselves with others through our righteousness. We compare ourselves with our colleague, with our co-worker, with our classmates. Looking at them, oh, they are lost, oh, poor. Well, then should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise, no one is seeking God. All have turned away, all have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is full, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drip from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuse and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are.
Wow.
Whether Jews or Gentiles are under the power of sin, we are sinners. We agree. I cannot hear. Okay. So you're here. So we are sinners. We are under the power of sin. So it means that all the world is under this power. We still sinners. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. On our own, we are all guilty. We are all guilty. On our own, we are all guilty. We can be the best person in this world, but we are guilty. A few weeks ago, I was reading some testimony of people, famous people who were passed away. And they underlined, they praised them for all the good deeds they did, how they were behaving nice, and they did well in that area or in this area. But on the other hand, they show also their weakness. They had several wives, broken life. So you can praise a person, but your good deeds are going away with your life. This morning I was reading the devotional, and people are so They are measuring themselves according to how much successful their life is. How many property, the job career, how high my status can be. But what God wants character, people of character. This is what is counted at the end. And this is what Paul says. You can do many good things, but at the end you're still a sinner and you need God. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. No one is seeking God. You think that this was just 2,000 years ago because the church was just born? A few weeks ago, we were walking on the street in Stuttgart. In Schlossplatz, there was a parade of gay pride. No one seeking God. But that, oh, you say, oh, they don't seek God. I seek God. But look around. We can be 100% sincere that we are seeking God all the time. In every single moment of our life, without God, without His help, we cannot. We have our brain is so full of sin that by our own will, we cannot do it. If God doesn't come to us first, didn't came to us first, if God doesn't speak to us with our own efforts, we cannot do it. They don't know where to find peace. This is the result. When we don't seek God, because of God, help us to seek Him, we cannot find peace. We fill our life with the things, with the job, with people who praise us. Useless. Literally useless. Was walking a few weeks in August on Gangnam. Gangnam is one of the most expensive streets in Seoul. And you can see people are seeking for something. Shops, fancy shop, people try to fill their life with many things. Nothing. Everything is in vain. People has no peace. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. The rules are, in many areas of our life, are made to show us that we are, we need to keep it. We have this Alzheimer in our mind. We have the tendency to forget the things. For this reason, we need the rules. We need the rules to follow, to make order. Otherwise, it's chaos, anarchy in our life. We need the rules in every day, in every area of our life. We need rules in our own way to live. We have a routine. Routine is a kind of rules we make on ourselves to give us order, otherwise we feel lost. But as says here Paul, the law is not the one makes us right. The law is like a railroad track. Shows us the direction where to go and shows us how much broken we are. In this passage, we are faced with the reality that we are sinners. I am the problem. We are the problem. And we cannot escape. The apostle makes it clear. I will try to go a bit fast. For you are not true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law, rather it is a change of heart, produced by the Spirit. Apart from God's regenerating grace, we flee from Him internally, even as we seek Him externally. We try to apply rules, we try to follow the religion. Externally, we look good. We come to church. We attend to a prayer meeting. We give our tithe. We help people. We do this or that externally. But if internally is not changed, is nothing. Before God is nothing. When I was in Korea, I went to a physiotherapist. I mean, Samin need a physiotherapist. I said, okay, I will come with you. And at the beginning, I just attend just to see how the physiotherapist did the massage. And then at some point, I was asked me, Samin's mom, oh, would you like to have a massage too, or would you like to do a session from the physiotherapist? I said, yeah, why not? But in my mind, oh, I'm doing sports. I'm fitting. I'm a person who is doing workout regularly. I'm okay. What can be wrong? But what came out, my posture was a Picasso draw. Was so broken. And made me to realize, oh, what I assumed about myself was not real. And this is many times we look at us externally, from outside. Oh, I'm okay. I'm a good person. My posture is good. As a Christian, my posture is good. But when we are faced with God, we realize that we are broken. We are not so good as we thought. And you know, it was humiliating somehow. What I did so far, I thought in my mind. My posture was not good. My knee goes in one side. My shoulder was too high. Who am I? And this is what happened. When we are confronted with God, we realize that we are so broken. When we compare ourselves to somebody else who is in a worse condition, I'm good. I'm doing religious workout. I'm reading the Bible, I go to church, I'm good. But when we are faced with God, oh, that's the reality came out. And we don't want many times. This is will. We need to go to God. As God said to at the beginning, to Paul said at the beginning in the first chapter, God left them to worship who they want. God always gives us a choice to go to Him. All have sinned and no one can save or justify themselves. Brothers, sisters, listeners from the podcast, we need to realize that we need God. We have not the solution. He has the solution. In the light of our biggest sin, which was replacing God's authority in our lives with our own, even the good things we do don't really seem that good. In order for our work to be good in God's sight, it has not to be good in its form, but also to be good in its motives. It has to be done for the glory and praise of God and to delight God in the motivation and that motivation alone. God is not just after obedience. He's after all new kind of obedience. An obedience that grows out of desire. An obedience wherein you seek God because you crave God. An obedience where you do righteousness because you love righteousness. It's different. We are not forced to do something, but we want to do it because we understand what is right. Paul is trying to show us that sin is not so much an action as it is a condition. It's like being sick. You are not sick because you show symptoms. You show symptoms because you are sick, right? We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. What we do or say are the symptoms of the rottenness of our hearts. Then, how could obedience to a religious law be the solution? The law is like, I say, a railroad tracks. It can point us to the right direction to go, but is powerless to move the freight of our hearts along the tracks. To truly receive Christ, we need to be honest about the depth of our problem. Most people don't feel the need to be saved because we have never realized how truly lost we are. Have you come to a place where you realize that all your righteous deeds, all of them, the very best things you have done, are before God like filthy rags? Like the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 64, and there is no hope of ever being good enough to earn God's favor. You can't fix yourself with religious ritual or resolution to be better, no matter how sincere you are. Have you seen yet that not self-reform attempts can truly transform your heart? Do you understand your desperate need for God's grace? For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We cannot do nothing by ourselves. When we reach fully that point of surrender, comes also point of peace and joy, because we realize that God can do all things. I don't know in which position you are at this point, but really I want you understand, we all understand that we can do good, but it will be never enough in God's eyes. We need just to surrender. We need just to realize I'm miserable, I'm lost, I'm a sinner who need a savior. When we fully grasp this truth, our life will be changed. We can taste fully the goodness of God. How much he took this dirty person like me, who didn't deserve all of it, who doesn't deserve all of it, and saved him. Because he loves me, he loves us. Not because I'm better than Samin, than Ned, Chrissy, but because he loves me. Action point. Examine yourself before God. Be honest. Be honest. God wants a heart that comes before him with a surrender. God, I feel miserable. I feel lost. I don't know what to do. Please. Surrender daily to him. Realize day by day that the needs of him. I need him. I need every day him. We need him. Seek him. Seek his face daily. I need to do more. Personally, I need to do more. I need to seek him like I seek for food, for water, for many other things keeps me alive. And God is the same. Without him, we are dead. Without him, our life is nothing. There is joy, there is fully joy, knowing that we are accepted from God for who we are. There is fully joy knowing that when we seek him, he will make himself to be founded. And this relationship will be so beautiful, so strong, so deep that makes us to feel released. Will make us to have that peace we can find just in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the gospel. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you because we were lost, but you found us and you makes us to be saved by your blood. You saved us, Father. You give us new life. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, because our condition is redeemed. The price has been paid. And you made it possible through only Jesus Christ. Keep speaking to our hearts, Father. Keep transform our hearts and give us really to surrender every single part of our life to you. In Jesus' name.